And today is Andrew Browning, Consumer Energy Alliance Executive Vice President. We're going to talk a little bit about rising gas prices. Good morning, sir. Can you tell me a little bit about your group?
Yeah, thanks for having me this morning. Consumer Energy Alliance is a national organization with about 170 companies and trade associations, about 300,000 grassroots subscribers, and about 25,000 Facebook subscribers that focuses on energy policy, education, advocacy, and basically educating the general public on energy issues and bringing them in as a force in the debate.
Okay. Now, this is a confusing question for most people as far as what we need to do, because in a political election year, you get it on both sides. I mean, the Republicans are now criticizing the president for some of the very same ideas they had before, and it flip-flops all over the place, and meanwhile, the consumer gets stuck with high prices at the pump. Don't you think most people in this country are really for an all-of-the-above approach to energy?
Well, I think so. You know, I think that, you know, as a nation, everyone probably understands that we need to move forward. We need to diversify our energy portfolio. We need to develop cleaner energy supplies. But I think people understand that right now, some of the things that we're talking about are just not technically or economically feasible, that we are an economy that is based on fossil fuels, and that we need to develop what we have here in the United States right now. And so, we believe in a we-need-it-all approach, but we also believe that either political party needs to have a specific plan of action at the mid-level and lower level of the government that makes that happen. It's not, not just rhetorical statements and speeches.
All right. Now, obviously, a lot of controversy generated around this Keystone Pipeline. What should happen with this project?
Well, the project needs to happen. You know, the bottom line is the Canadian oil sands are the second largest source of petroleum outside of Saudi Arabia. It is based in Alberta. It is, Alberta, Canada, which is our largest trading partner, our oldest ally. You know, we just cannot ignore access to this safe, reliable, massive source of fuel. Most of the fuel in the Midwest, including Illinois, is from Canadian oil sands. And so as demand increases, we need to develop the infrastructure that brings that supply, secure supply of oil to the United States. And to not do so, we're exposing ourselves to significant repercussions.
Okay, what should happen with shale in this country and using it, particularly in North Dakota?
Well, that is shale development, especially in North Dakota, is just a bright spot in our nation's energy portfolio right now. North Dakota has catapulted into one of the top tier producing states very rapidly, within 4 to 5 years. I think they're producing about 500,000 barrels a day right now. And this is from, as you said, shale oil. Shale is new shale supplies are being realized because of perfections and technologies that have existed for a while called hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling. And so this has kind of created a quiet revolution in the United States and opened up massive supplies of natural gas and oil in North Dakota, Pennsylvania, South Texas, Colorado, and other spots that are just being realized. And it is huge for the United States. It's definitely going to be a game changer for us in the long run.
All right, Andrew Browning from Consumer Energy Alliance. He's an executive VP there. Should the government be funding some of these alternative sources because they're not profitable yet? I mean, you look at China and other places around the world that are investing a lot of money in solar energy or whatever it might be. Can the argument be made that there is a way for government to invest in this because it's not ready for the free market?
Well, I think you kind of get in the debate as to whether the government should be picking winners and losers. What I think the government is good at, what they should be involved in, is developing a regulatory and legal framework that is, immune of politics, that promotes development of these types of energy. Solar, wind are all kind of running into their own problems with siting and permitting. You know, it's just this our energy policy seems to be made in the court system these days. And so the government needs to find the political will. Both parties need to find the political will to develop a comprehensive, cohesive energy policy that targets these, levels the playing field, makes these new projects happen. But I don't necessarily know that they need to be funneling money to them and kind of picking winners and losers. Also, I think the government should be involved in kind of a workforce educational issues. You know, it is important to invest in the human capital with energy. You know, our nation has a dearth of petroleum engineers, nuclear engineers, just energy technicians in general. You know, we need to start educating the new generation of these folks to bring us into a new era of energy. And we're, you know, I think that's something that the government can do well. You know, partner with universities on and kind of stay out of the economic picking of winners and losers.
All right. And what are the chances of that happening during an election year?
Oh, right. Well, you know, election year, you know, it is what it is. It's a lot of talk. But, you know, what we've been doing is trying to make energy a primary issue in this election year and some of the key battleground states because, you know, the fact is if the Democrat or the Republican Party is going to win, they're going to have to win some key states. Most of them, you know, Midwest are some of the key battleground states, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, but also Colorado, Florida, North Carolina. And so we're having energy summits in these states. So we just had a summit in Colorado in early February, where we invited the Republican candidates, Santorum and Gingrich came, and they got to espouse, you know, in detail on C-SPAN and on CNN their long-term vision for the country, not just kind of sound bites, you know, what they would do if they were president. And so that's kind of what CEA is geared to do, shine a light on this, get into the detail, explain it to the general public, bring them into the part of the debate, and educated public is the most important, you know, part of this equation, because they'll force the politicians to make the right choices.
All right, the most important question out there on everybody's minds is how high will gas go? It's high now at this time of year than it ever has been. Is that an indicator of a long, painful summer?
Well, it could be. You know, a lot of this are factors a little bit out of our control. You know, there has been a cold snap in Europe. The economies of China and India are humming along, and you're seeing whole new, you know, tens of millions of people rising up into the middle class in those countries and demanding cars. You know, India is now producing a car that costs $2,000. So we are competing with those companies for oil supplies right now.
All right.
So, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was about to say, and then, you know, this nuclear situation with Iran, that's where you're seeing some of these the price spikes really happening because, you know, if Iran takes off, it's 2 million barrels a day because of sanctions or because we cut it off, you know, that's gonna significantly impact, you know, the supply where supply and demand in the world is roughly equal. That's where you're seeing the jump in the price. We're hopeful, you know, that tensions will ease there. The Iranians are getting squeezed right now, and I think that they probably, hopefully, they'll see it's in their best interest to come to the negotiating table and give up their program. And if that happens, I think you'll see prices drop dramatically. If tensions escalate, I think you're going to see five, you know, who knows, maybe $6 in some parts of the country this summer.
All right, Andrew Browning with Consumer Energy Alliance. Is there a magic number? Is there a threshold, you know, when the voters just sort of lose their minds and throw everybody out of office? And what is that number per gallon?
Well, I think we're kind of approaching it right now. You know, the high gas prices put a strain on many people's budgets last year when gas was when gas is $3.50 a gallon, it's roughly 8.5% of people's total income. If it is $6 a gallon, you know, you're getting up to 15% of folks' income being spent on gasoline. That is, you know, that is a burden on anyone. That is taking away a lot of your disposable money, and people won't stand for it. I think, you know, that will kill any type of economic recovery we're having, and you're going to see a lot of people in a lot of pain if prices rise that high. And I'm sure the politicians will feel that at the poll this at the voting booth in November.
Yet, President Obama's energy guru testifying said it really wasn't the administration's goal to have gas prices go down.
Well, yeah, I saw that. And I'm sure the Obama campaign is just in fits right now because, you know, you're having an academic in an ivory tower kind of give his utopian vision of what should be, and it doesn't reflect reality. It doesn't reflect what I just told you, you know, that the guy, average guy, who's trying to, you know, get to work and sees, you know, 15% of his take-home pay gobbled up and, you know, filling up his car, you know, that it's a disconnect. It's a disconnect. And so we're going to, you know, we're Consumer Energy Alliance, you know, through our network, through our, you know, advocacy, we're keeping the administration's feet to the fire. We think there are a number of things this administration hasn't done that should be doing in terms of promoting offshore development, onshore development, development in offshore Alaska, et cetera, to the full extent possible. And so, that, you know, that is our mission, to keep their feet to the fire, keep any party's feet to the fire, bring the public in, educate them, and force the politicians to get the political will to make some of these decisions.
All right, Andrew Browning, we appreciate it. Great stuff today. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, Andrew from Consumer Energy Alliance talking about rising gas prices. Here's Lindsay Romano with your